So, Seth, what would happen if you were out there in the fields and you saw UFO land? Would that convince you?
Well, if I saw UFO land, I suspect that would convince me personally, but it might not convince anybody else unless I was able to grab a taillight off it or an ashtray or something like that.
Have you ever seen anything up there that you thought was possibly a UFO?
Well, I've seen, UFO just means it's unidentified. I've seen things in the sky, of course, that I didn't know what they were. In fact, I was driving up the 405, as you call it down there, the San Diego Freeway.
Ah, yes.
you may spend some time.
You mean you could actually drive on it?
Well, actually, I was parked. I was surrounded by sheet metal, and I was parked on the 405, inching forward at about the speed at which continental drift is moving us toward Japan. And I saw something in the distance that I didn't understand. It was in the sky. It was close up to the San Gabriel Mountains, or actually it was above the hills of Hollywood. And I didn't know what it was, but 3 hours later, when I had moved forward about 15 miles, I saw that it was a blimp. And now in that case, I was able to figure out what it was because I was slowly moving, and I got it was persistent, and I got a different view.
Excellent. How about you, Stan? Ever see anything up there unidentified?
Nothing that I would call a flying saucer. Remember, my lectures, flying saucers are real, not UFOs are real. But I need to point out something. Seth just came up with some numbers, 10,000 civilizations in the galaxy, average distance 1,000 light years, and then it was nearest one 1,000 light years. That's dartboard physics. We have information on one civilization, if you call this a civilization, and I will for tonight's purposes, in one solar system, and somehow we can extrapolate that for the whole galaxy. And remember that that completely excludes colonization and migration. So if one civilization got started and planted colonies hither, thither, and yon, these SETI calculations don't take that into account at all.
Put numbers
on a dartboard, throw a dart. We have 10,000 civilizations. Somebody else does it. Oh, today's number is 1,000,000 civilizations. That's silly. We got 200 billion. What's a good number, Seth? How many stars in the galaxy?
Well, actually, maybe 400 billion. But, Stanton, there may be an occupation for you in hospice care because you're very good at putting things in my mouth, in particular words.
You just said 10,000 civilizations, right?
No.
Guys. By the way, 14 minutes to go. Have at it. This is the last round. Well, you might as well both go for the knockout. Have fun.
Okay, well, I'll let Stanton finish his swing here, and then I'll finish my thought.
What I'm saying is that there have been a myriad of calculations about how many civilizations in the galaxy, using the Drake equation as kind of a basis for that. But there's no science supporting the Drake equation. We have no way of knowing what fraction of stars have planets and what fraction of those planets develop life and what the lifespan is, which, of course, is a crucial number in the Drake equation calculation. I'm saying if we look at the evidence, there's no reason to say they're not 39 light years away from here, that there may be bases, the equivalent of gas stations, if you will, throughout our local neighborhood. We're the most behind, if there is such a term, system in the neighborhood, for all I know. So the 10,000 number has no validity at all. And to say that the nearest one is 1,000 light years away is silly. When I lived in the Bay Area, I once calculated the average distance to the 10 largest metropolitan areas in the country was like 1,500 miles. But the nearest one was 20 miles away.
Okay,
so average distances don't mean anything.
Well, Stan, let me just take that on a bit before you go on further there, because actually what happened was that George asked me for an estimate of how many civilizations might be in the galaxy, and I said, well, nobody knows, of course. And indeed, that's the point of SETI, is to try and find out something. Now, to say that the Drake equation is a complete guess and we don't know how many stars have planets and so forth, well, that's not true. We have some indication. We have lower limits on what fraction of stars have planets because we've been finding planets. We found more than 100 of them.
Yep.
So we have some statistics there. But we don't know how many civilizations are out there. That's quite true. And if you just look at the range of guesses, and they are guesses, that have been published, you have from one Earth, that's it, to, as I say, Carl Sagan said millions.
Yep.
And that's kind of the range of guesses. And I said, so the average of that is on the order of 10,000, which would mean that the nearest civilization is 1,000 light years away. And you could be right. Maybe the nearest civilization is 39 light years away. But that's not the issue now, is it? The issue is, do we have the evidence for that? SETI differs from ufology in this very crucial point. That is, if we don't claim that we have found ET, you do, we don't. If we do make that claim, if we say we have found a signal, there won't be a debate about it here on Coast to Coast AM, much as that would be an interesting thing to do. What would happen is that everybody with a radio telescope and every other kind of telescope would be able to point in the direction of this thing because the evidence would be in the sky. No cover-up. Don't have to worry about those nefarious feds freeze-drying and stacking up the evidence somewhere. Mind you, apparently every other country has done the same thing. I don't quite know how they've done
that.
They
all have a common interest in doing that, of course.
Well, they do, don't they? I mean, the Bolivians have covered it up, and the Iraqis and the Paraguayans and the Bulgarians. By gosh, either that or only, you know, the aliens only land in the U.S. for some peculiar reason. But that wouldn't be the case in the instance of a SETI detection. Everybody with a telescope could verify whether what we were saying was true or not. That's the difference. And that's a very important difference. So I'm just trying to understand your...
But remember, Seth, that would what if the civilization died 1,000 years ago? The signals could still be coming out, couldn't they?
Of course they could be. And in fact, I could read Julius Caesar, and Julius Caesar died 2,000 years ago. Doesn't mean he didn't exist. So what?
Well, what I'm saying is you don't know whether what you're receiving is a signal from an, let's say, an ongoing civilization as of the time the signal was sent. It could have been left there as a beacon, you know, for whatever purpose, or
right.
Because somebody destroyed somebody else, and whoops, oh well, let it go.
That's perfectly fine with me, Stanton. I have no problem with that. Then we've discovered the beacon. The point is, it was built by some sort of thinking beings, and that's
so the
only
are the
point.
Vehicles that are coming here, Seth.
Well,
so we're the vehicles that are coming here,
all right,
and then leave. We've got big ones, we got small ones, we got fast ones, we got slow ones. The military has been chasing them for ages. Talk to the pilots. I hope that George will have somebody from NARCAP on who will talk about more than 1,000 reports that they have.
I will do that.
From
Stanton,
pilots, because...
Stanton, it sounds like you sound like a used car salesman. We got big ones, we got small ones, we got them in all sizes. Since you are convinced that they're here, and I'm trying to summarize the evidence over the past hour and a half, 2 hours and a half now.
That was a below-the-belt hit, by the way, Seth. That will be not allowed.
Okay, there's nothing wrong with used car sales, by the way. I have relatives that do that. But I'm trying to summarize the evidence that you presented so far, and that is you admit anecdotal, and we've got rings of salt on the ground, and you said there have been radar sightings. Now, of course, radar sightings...
radar visual cases, Seth. That there's a difference between that and saying, oh, there's a blip on radar. Oh, my God.
Okay,
so we have... That's not what we're talking about.
Okay, so we had the radar saying... Now, let me ask you this, because this, to me, is... I think a very important point. If you talk about astronomy research, and that's, after all, sort of the game I've been in for a while, we learn things. We have new knowledge all the time. In 1947, if you asked, well, what do we know about planets around other stars? The answer was, not much. In fact, zip. We had some ideas about what they might be like,
Yeah. But
we didn't know anything. Now we know quite a bit, actually. All right? There's been an advance in knowledge. Now, you're claiming that aliens somehow came at least 39 light years. Let's say 39 light years, and that's about 220 trillion miles. Okay, they came, and then in the last 500 feet somewhere over Roswell, New Mexico, they made a navigation error and crashed. They didn't have any problem with the 200.
That's not at all what I'm saying, Seth. That's why I mentioned big ones and small ones. There's no reason at all to assume that what crashed in Roswell and out near the plains of San Augustine just came here from Zeta Reticuli on its own. We have aircraft carriers that carry 75, 80 small aircraft that work by entirely different principles, that look entirely different, and behave entirely different. We have motherships,
Stanton, what you're saying is that there might be a whole variety of visitors here. So, my next question, and this is, I think, an important question, is, in 57 years of being visited, what have we learned? What do we know